Well,
Awesome.
welcome back. Hopefully, you guys were inspired by some of the lessons that Atlee had on there. Not too chatty there on the chat, but that's fine. Hopefully, the conversations now will kind of get you guys thinking about different questions that you can ask Atlee. There is actually one really good one there in the chat, and we'll start off with that one. Question was, where do you get the inspiration for all of your apps?
Sometimes it just seems like being awake. Actually, what I do is I think of the computer as having a little computer, or the phone as having a little computer in my pocket. And I think that using it just as a phone is a huge waste of having to carry that thing around all day. So I try to think of what information do I want to have with me? What kind of things do I want to be able to do? Sometimes it's just something that's cool. Like yesterday, I built an applause meter. For some reason, I thought, oh, it'd be really funny if I was doing a Hackfest, if I wanted to see who had the best app by applause, and this could gauge it. So I built it. Sometimes I build apps that are just for me. Sometimes I listen to what's going on around me and what people are doing around me and what people are saying around me. And a lot of times people get frustrated. Oh, I don't have that piece of information with me. Well, why not make something that allows them to have that piece of information with them, or have access to that information? And so that's where a lot of my app ideas come from.
Cool. And I actually had had one that I was thinking about as you were going through the actual session, and that really is, so there's obviously free applications in the marketplace. There are paid applications in the marketplace. What's your take on? I know many developers have asked me, and they're like, the natural inclination is, hey, if I want to monetize on this platform, I have to make sure that my application is a paid application, but on the same kind of wavelength, I know many people who are making a good chunk of change just doing free apps with ads in them. What's your take on that, free apps versus paid apps?
Well, like I said in my session, that we just talked about, if you look at the use case of the app, a lot of times that will tell you what the best way to monetize it is. So, for example, if you have something where people are going to need to add different things or get different things for the apps, then an in-app purchase will be a really, really great model. For example, Smurf Village, right? The Smurf app that's really popular on a few platforms. You go and buy Smurf berries. If you don't want to wait for them to grow in your fields, you go and buy them, and they are making money hand over fist because they offer that way to not necessarily cheat, but to speed up the progress of your overall app or your game. For example, I have an application called Speaker Helper, which if I got a speaker to pay me 99 cents or $1.99 even for the app, I would get that, and given the number of speakers there are people that are doing presentations, I would make a certain amount of money, and then that would pretty much dry up after a while. But since I put an ad in the middle of it, the fact that a presentation is anywhere from 45 minutes to 75 minutes long, I'm showing them ads through that whole time that they're using it. So basically, every time someone gives a presentation, they pay me. So in that case, an ad works out as a fantastic way to really maximize the monetization of that particular type of app. So when you look at what your app's demographic is, like who are you marketing it to, how many do you expect to get? Because you don't necessarily have to make the app that everybody has to have. You make the app that works the best for whatever its use case is. And if that is going to be a relatively limited number of people, let's say it's going to be 10,000 people in the world or 20,000 people in the world versus 4 million, well, then that changes the way you look at the monetization of that app, and you probably try to figure out how you can make them pay you while they use it, like I did with Speaker Helper. So it's like a lot of things, and pretty much most things in programming. There's no one cut and dried best answer. You do have to look at it, and some of it's hit and miss, and it's one of the things that I've found so far through my development of apps and through my work in the marketplace, is that you try one model. If it doesn't work, you pull it back and you try a different model. That's the nice thing is that the platform is so malleable and so flexible that it's not necessarily hard to go, you know what, ads didn't really work, maybe I'm going to try an ads versus paid. And, you know, and that's another great model that works really well, is if the person doesn't necessarily want to pay for it, you give them the option of having their app running while there's ads. If it's running while there are ads, if they get sick of the ads or they don't want the ads there, they can always pay you for it. Other than that, you're making money both ways. So, I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios. You definitely have to look at how that particular scenario best fits your use case and your application model.
So now, you know, obviously with that's once someone actually gets the application. But what about marketing your application to get people to download it to begin with? I know, you know, with the 70 apps that you have in Marketplace and a whole bunch of them coming down the line, how do you go about getting the word out for your applications?
Well, there's a number of really excellent ways to do it. One of the ways is to try and create buzz within the community itself. So using social networking to talk to other developers, to talk to definitely to the reviewing sites. There's a lot of sites that do reviews of apps, and there are a surprising number of people that go to those sites, general users that go to those sites looking for what's the latest and greatest, what's the newest thing. And just making sure that you get your application up there, not just new apps, but new versions of apps. Constantly be barraging, and that's one of the reasons why I said that sometimes the most successful model is to build your application to about 80% of what you think is done, right? Get it 80% of the way there. Get it so that it's a functional app, it serves a purpose, and maybe leave some of the special features and the extra add-ons that you were thinking of doing, or the things that you came in and you creeped your own scope, leave those off, get your app out there, and let the user base help you decide. Like I said, making sure that you're communicating with the user base is imperative, but let your user base help you decide what features are actually really important. One of the things that with social networking and with this app model where apps don't cost a lot of money in general, individually, you find that the paradigm has shifted and changed very dynamically and quite a bit. So we have to be more flexible and more understanding that we have to listen to the users. We don't get, 10 years ago, you write a piece of software and this is how I think you should use a computer. Nowadays, users are saying, no, that's not how I want to use my computer. It's not how I want to use my device. I want to use it this way. If you're not going to do it, I'm going to just squawk about it until someone goes and builds it.
So that makes sense. So then as a developer, though, that's almost like free advice that you can get on there, good and bad, right? Even though someone might look at something and make a negative comment or whatever, that in and of itself is actually an opportunity for you to also do something to kind of up the ante, if you will, for the app itself.
Exactly. I mean, there's companies that pay a lot of money for focus groups. And the world is full of focus groups. Everybody wants to let you know what they think. And good or bad, you can learn from all of it. If you learn to see what trends tend to be working and what trends tend to not be working. And one of the things you can't really get too lax in is thinking, okay, well, this worked for that app. It's always going to work now. The philosophy that I've always thought is like poison to a developer is that's the way I've always done it, or that's the way we've always done it. That tends to be the kiss of death for innovation and growth. And you really have less, there's less tolerance for that now because the market is so open and so available. Like I said, with the market where it is at 70,000 apps, this is a fantastic time that if you've been sitting on the fence, this is the time to jump in.
We actually have a comment in the chat there that it's actually up to 82,000 apps now.
Yeah, I know. It's up over 80,000 apps, and with that, if you see that the growth is getting exponentially more, you're seeing much bigger players, software development houses. I've actually been in the situation over the last month or two where I've actually been asked and or contracted to go to companies that deal strictly in software and mobile software development and teach their entire team how to develop on Windows Phone. So when you see companies that are making that kind of a shift, it's time for us as individual developers to really step up, take a swing, throw what we've got out into the game, and make our mark. I mean, this, some developers may think that they, oh, I missed the iPhone revolution and the whole big app marketplace, you know, jumping and going crazy, making people rich. Don't miss the Windows Phone one, because it's going to be just as big or bigger. And
interesting.
If you see the way that the app marketplace has grown in comparison to the other app marketplaces along the same sort of timelines and comparisons, the Windows Phone marketplace is growing faster, and it's got a much bigger developer base. I mean, when you think of how many .NET developers out there, and for any developer that's actually just dipped their foot into the phone SDK and played around with it, and then you look at it and you realize how completely simple it is in comparison to what you're doing in your day-to-day job. If you're working in .NET for ASP.NET or for WinForms or any of that, or especially Silverlight or WPF, if you're working in any of those platforms and you look to see how simple it is to port what you already know directly to the phone, eventually everybody's going to find it.
And I think actually, if I'm not mistaken, if we go back to when we were doing tech days throughout Canada, I think you said something to me that still sort of stuck with me. And that was, now that there's only, like I'm going to say only, but now that there's only 82,000 apps in the marketplace, as a developer, this is the opportunity where, I believe the exact words that you use were, this is the time when you can stand out, as opposed to if you wait for too long and then, you know, let's say the marketplace gets to 400, 500,000 apps, it's that much easier for your application to get drowned out.
Yes, exactly. And that's one of the reasons why I have built applications for all the platforms, and I tend to steer away from the other two right now, just because I find that unless it's a contracted application, I'm not going to gain the traction that I would have. And one of the saddest things that I saw, for me, one of the saddest things I saw for the iPhone platform is the fact that you're hearing radio commercials and television commercials about iPhone apps. That means that they haven't been able to get the kind of traction they want to get otherwise, and right. They're resorting to traditional media to try and attract those other users. That means the market is getting saturated. I mean, that's how I see that.
Definitely. And then, but on the same wavelength, and I know I've had this question asked of me a couple of times, what's your take on the fact that most of the big brands or the big applications that are out there have an Android application or have an iPhone application, but no Windows Phone? What does that say either about the company or about the platform, or does it? Is it just, fact of life?
And it does. It actually does. It does speak about the platform, and it does speak about the companies. And it's actually a couple of different things. One, when you look at the larger companies like that, they've already spent, in a lot of cases, they jumped on the iPhone platform and they paid their money to get the iPhone app built. And anybody that's done any of the other ones plus Windows Phone will tell you the Windows Phone development is a much shorter development cycle. I think that a lot of the bigger businesses have been sort of waiting, looking to see, is there a reason to spend that money? Is there a reason to get into that market? The other thing is that they're looking at the mobile development costs as in relation to the iPhone and the Android. And once they start to realize that the development costs aren't as high for this platform as for that, that's going to open the watershed. And that's one of the reasons why I constantly try to talk to developers and tell them about what's going on in the marketplace now, what's going on with the phone, and getting used to the SDK, because if you want to be a contractor on this platform, get ready, because it's coming. I've already seen it. I've got an announcement coming up later on this week, actually, about that particular case. I've already seen it where there are large companies that are contracting, and the contracts are insane, like a year's salary, for the summer's worth of work. And the calls that I've seen for Windows Phone developers have been, we have to have a Windows Phone developer, get one out here, we don't care what you want, just do it. come and do it, and they'll fly you all over the world. They'll do all sorts of things. You're starting to see that now, and I'm starting to see that fairly regularly, mostly because I'm known in the field. But me being known in the field has only taken me a year to do, and it's not that hard for other developers to make their mark. There's still a lot out there. There's still a lot that you can do, and it's definitely the time to be doing it.
Well, and that's actually, I mean, it's a great, great response. Thanks so much for that. While obviously we can continue talking about this for hours, we are actually at the top of the hour. So, Atlee, thank you so much for joining us. Folks on the chat, if you do have questions for Atlee and you do want to keep the conversation going, by all means, please start up a new conversation in the Canadian Developer Connection group on LinkedIn. Atlee is obviously a member of that group, as are all of the experts here that you see on Tech Days TV. So by all means, please start the conversations there, and let's keep poking at Atlee's brain for more advice. Until then, more sessions.
Oh, actually, just one more thing, John.
Go for it.
Just for the Canadian developers out there, remember that the developer movement is still going. So if you go to www.developermovement.ca and check that out, you can actually get some amazing prizes for developing one, two, or three Windows Phone apps. And I'm doing a thing called Developer Movement, where I will help any new developer to the platform up to half of their first app. I'll help them organize it, build it, scope it, decide how they're going to do different things. And I'm always open to questions and always happy to hear what you guys have got to say. So please get in touch with me.
Awesome. Thanks again, Atlee, and for you guys as well. More Windows Phone session coming up in 2 weeks on April the 24th. So hopefully you'll join us then. We'll be talking about live tiles and push notifications. Till then, have a good one and enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks.